We all got different personalities. We all got different qualities. God made us unique. He made us in His image, yes. But He made each and every one of us unique. There isn't a single person that walks the earth that's the same as somebody else. Even identical twins, slight differences. We all think differently. We all interact with different people on different levels and different ways. And we all have different ways to express our feelings. So yes, we should look out for each other. Yes, we should reach out, connect. But maybe we need to understand this time where people are coming from. You see, reflect on where we've come from, what the Lord's done in our lives, what we've been through. It flags up different things for different people. For me, I'm naturally a very outside, outdoors type person. I'm focused on the outside. So right in the middle of lockdown, being only let out for whatever it was, half an hour for the day, that was really hard to deal with. That was really, really difficult. For others, it's been a wholly positive experience. I've heard lots of stories where people have said how they've grown in their faith and they've come to know the Lord so much more, they've developed more, they've been such a better person, just because they've been forced to stop, put the busyness of life to one side and focus on the Lord. And that's a really positive thing. Focus more on what He's trying to tell them. Focus more on listening and hearing. So now, while we're still even trying to adjust, things aren't quite exactly as things were before lockdown just yet. So we're still trying to adjust. How much are we still missing people? There's still people even here that we haven't seen since the beginning of lockdown, shielding for whatever reason, or don't feel comfortable in crowds still today. How much do we miss them? Do we miss them? How much have we thought about those people that we've never really thought about before? We found ourselves speaking to people we've never spoke to before just because we need to reach out in a different kind of way. You're the person you see every day but you've never really spoken to, perhaps suddenly you might want to ask how you're doing just because they can. And it's a natural thing. The social groups you used to mingle in, perhaps they've changed. Perhaps you don't move in the same circles anymore. Perhaps you find yourself mixing with different people and doing things on a different level just because you need to interact differently. See, so what am I getting at? See, whatever shape our lives take, whatever we do, whatever we go, we all need to interact. So it's a natural human response and it's a natural human emotion. We all need to socialize. It makes us feel better. It makes us feel included. It makes us feel stronger, perhaps. And perhaps, this day and age, it makes us feel maybe things are getting back on track again. Slowly. What about your spiritual life, then? This is the crux question, isn't it? What about God? Do you view Him differently? After everything we've been through, after all the stuff we've come through, how easy is it to forget where we are from? Who remembers life at 5? That wasn't my thing. That's not a rhetorical question, that answer. If Darren is watching, I remember it. Nobody else put their hand up, though. But yeah, I wasn't my thing. And I really quickly forgot all about it. It's only when somebody mentioned life at 5 the other day, I thought, oh yeah, and it took me back to a couple of years ago. It's really quick and easy to forget these things. It's really easy to forget who we are. It's really easy to forget where we've come from. It's really easy to forget who's brought us to the place we're in right now. What if things were totally different? What if we hadn't made out the other side? And unfortunately, many of you know, you don't need me to tell you, there are some people that didn't. There's some people that never made it. Would you have been ready to meet with Jesus? Would you have been ready to say, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and through Him I can enter heaven? Yes, He's coming soon, but Darren says all the time, Pastor says all the time, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I mean, look what happened on, whenever it was, February or something or other, 2 years ago. We were all living the best life, and then suddenly, bang, don't go out, don't go anywhere. Life changed completely the next day. So in life after lockdown, how important is coming together? How important is gathering as a church? Is it important? Does it have any impact on the world today? How important is meeting everybody, spending time together? Now, we all love the fellowship, don't we? People love getting together. As long as you can choose who they are, of course. And that's something that's always been very important in church life. It's a staple. It's something we do. It's something that connects us all. But what does it mean? What does fellowship actually mean? Does it mean getting together over tea and cake and having a natter about what's been going on recently? Catching up with the news? That's all well and good, but maybe fellowship's just a little bit more than that. You see, at times, we feel put upon, don't we? In life, go to work, you go to school, you go to college, whatever social groups you move in, sometimes we feel put down. People tell us, why are you doing church? What is the point? Why are you wasting your time? Why are you following this God no one can see? What are you doing? And that drains us. That can get draining really, really quickly. And despite being around people of the same faith and values as us, people who can demonstrate why we follow Christ, gives us renewed strength, doesn't it? It empowers us. It builds us up. Constantly dealing with negativity from the world is really, really hard. And it's easy sometimes to question why we do it. You've got people all the time, why do I go to church? Why are you bothering? Why? It's easy to think, well, actually, why am I bothering? What can I possibly do? What possible impact can I have? It's very easy sometimes to remember that actually it's not us that makes us strong. It's not us that builds up our faith. It's not even the people around us sometimes. God himself. And how often do we take him out of the equation? So before we turn to the main passage, Hebrews sort of sums this up really well. I'm going to read from Hebrews 10. It's not the main message of the main scripture of the message, but it sums it up really well. Hebrews 10, 25, 24, and it's spelled out. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Sounds right, doesn't it? It rolls off the tongue quite nicely. Short verse, straight to the point. But what does it actually mean? Let me paraphrase it a little bit. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more, to see the day approaching. You see, that song we sang, it fits so well. The Lord is coming soon. And it's all well and good. We need to be ready, but we need to make sure everybody else is ready as well. We want to be taking people with us. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Acts 2. I'm going to read from verse 42 to 47. It's Acts 2, 42 to 47. It's talking about the apostles and how they went out into the world and what they did. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, and every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily that should be saved. So fellowship, it's as much about other people as it is about us. Fellowship can be about a relationship, contributing, sharing, taking part in something that's much bigger than a single individual. Doing something together as a whole is far more empowering and far more powerful and far more effective in the world than trying to take it all on ourselves. Fellowship can, by some, be interpreted as a call to action. Not just being together, but doing together as well. What if our leadership suddenly turned down tomorrow and said, right, we're going into Cardiff on the weekend. I want you to do Queen Street, I want you to do St Mary's Street, I want you to do High Street. We're all going to track and we're going to talk to people. That would be really daunting. For me, that would be terrifying. What if he said, right, all of us are going to cover Cardiff this weekend. We're all going to do one street all together. Suddenly it's not so bad. Suddenly it's not such a big thing. Because we've got backup and we've got support and we've got people around us. See, the church in Acts wasn't devoting itself to the activity, but to an action. It was more than that. It was a relationship with each other. Fellowship means we belong to each other in a relationship because we share together the common, life-affirming, life-enabling grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a common bond, something we all strive towards. We're all striving together towards a single point. 1 John 1. Says that when what which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we have fellowship. We can fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to me, that is phenomenal. That is absolutely amazing. We've all got the opportunity to sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ, lay out what we want, talk to him about what we need, ask him for help, Ask Him for guidance. Ask Him for support, whatever it is we need. A Christian has, by definition, a relationship with God, a relationship with Christ. And I say, we share this as a common bond amongst us. Great, fantastic, awesome. But we're also part of a body of Christ as well. And they're two very, very different things. A much bigger responsibility. A much bigger calling in some respects. It's about doing God's will for each of us. It's living out the plan He has for every single one of us. But key to all of this is doing it together. So we all have individual plans, but as the church as a whole, if we work together, it'll be far, far more effective. See, fellowship isn't just about meeting together over dinner, around sort of an organized event with other Christians. Although they are very important parts of a church, because ultimately we become whoever we surround ourselves with. We start to drift, we mix with the world, we have all our friends suddenly become secular people, worldly people, worries and cares of the world. Well, guess what's going to happen? Eventually, all our cares are going to become worries and concerns of the world. Eventually, we're going to lose sight of the Lord. If we surround ourselves with the people of Christ, we start to understand that actually valuing the love of Christ is more important. Valuing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is far more gifted and far more empowering than anything the world has got to offer. Of course, all of this has its place. And fellowship outside of that involves actively doing God's purpose. So we would describe relationship as being predominantly a community or an act of being together. Partnership sometimes is a very key element of being together as well. Being a partner in something, being accountable. In the worldly sense, partnership immediately springs to mind some sort of business connotation. A partner in a company or an organization or whatever it might be. And that's not a million miles away from what partnership in Christ should be like, really. It's your business partnership is formed, isn't it? It's formed for a common objective. Formed for a common goal. Is the board of directors and whoever it might be all pulling together for the same common purpose? Unless you work in Parliament. What's that about the church, though? Shouldn't that be the same thing? Shouldn't we all be pulling together for the same common purpose? Admittedly, not for profit. That's a worldly thing. But shouldn't we all be pulling together as a single unit driving forward for the glory of the Lord, doing the will of Christ, winning people to salvation? Don't take my word for it. Hebrews, again, fantastic book, backs this up for me. In Hebrews 3:14 it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence and steadfast unto the end, as partners with Christ, we should stand firm. Stand on His word, stand on His promises, stand on His grace until the end, until the race is run, until time's up, until He returns." So relationship describes what we are, a community of people brought together by a common life, a common objective and a common blessing. Partnership describes how we are, how we are related to each other in that relationship. Partners in an enterprise, in a calling. What we're working together towards. What are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to get out together? A common objective, the glory of the Lord. All of this, of course, falls flat if we don't have a firm foundation to stand upon. If we don't take what we read, if we don't hear what we receive from the Lord as the truth, stand on it and act on it. If we read our Bibles every single day, it means nothing unless you actually do something with it. We need to act on what we hear. Central to the fellowship, what we read about in the passage in Acts just a moment ago, is the teaching of the apostles. Being devoted to relationship, partnership. Fundamentally, fellowship was devotion and acceptance of Scripture. So the apostles didn't say, right, I'm going to go out and I'm going to change this church now. I'm going to tell them all about the Lord, of the land, and tell them all the things about Christ. It wasn't me, it was us and we. They went out together and they did all of this together. See, Christ came into the world to save souls, win them into the kingdom of heaven. But He never forsake the act of being together. It was a key point in everything He did. Sharing around meals, displaying acts of togetherness, when going through trials and tribulations. What happened to the disciples? When Christ went to the cross, they didn't split, they didn't go off in their separate ways. They all came together. True fellowship has to be based on the Word of God. It gets energy, it gets direction, it gets focus. And it's all from the Scriptures. Unfortunately, the world today, it's not always the case, and there's plenty of churches around and about even in locally around here, where they want to be, want to be a feel-good Christian. They want to be out in the community saying, "Are you okay? Anything we can do? Can we help you? Can we serve you?" Which has its place, don't get me wrong. Absolutely, helping people, helping those less fortunate is an absolute key element, of course. But not at the expense of ignoring the Word of God. Not at the expense of putting the Bible on the back bench and forgetting about it. Why do they do that? How can a solid Christian foundation church do something like that? How can they forget about the Bible? To coin a phrase, the Bible is a two-edged sword. It's not given to us so we can feel good about life. We're not meant to pick and choose the bits we like. It's a guidebook for life. It's to provide direction when we head off down the wrong path. It's to provide correction, maybe. It's to offer refuge when we find ourselves in trouble. But also, and this is the rub, sometimes it shows us what we don't want to see. All our sins laid bare. That's something we don't want to read. That's something that makes us uncomfortable. That's something we think, actually, I'm going to flick the page because that's horrible. But that is as valuable as the nice bits. Building each other up, sharing the good times, sharing the bad times, all the things we go through together, all these things are good, strong, make a good, strong fellowship and a great foundation to build a church. However, we should also be sure we have a fellowship with God. Bring the Lord into everything we do. Everything we do should be for the Lord, for some form of His glory and for some form of His plan and purpose. As we read His words, as we listen to His teachings, we need to allow the Spirit of God to act in us, change us, shape us, drive us forward. All of this is going to help us grow closer to the Lord. And the key point there is us. It's not just about me, it's not just about you, it's about us, collectively. All of us need to grow. But here's another rub. None of it actually is going to work very well unless we practice obedience. We can read and we can understand what the Bible says, but we can't pick and choose. You have to take it all. Every piece of scripture, every word, every sentence, no matter what it says. There's very little point in going back to childhood and saying, "Yeah, I hear what you said, but I don't really like the answer, so I'm going to ignore it." Well, then you just wasted the last half an hour or whatever it was of devotion time that you just read. It might make you feel better for a short time, but it's not going to help you grow, it's not going to help you prosper, it's not going to fix anything. If you truly want to grow, if you truly want to be a stronger, more powerful and effective Christian, start with fellowship. Start with getting together. Start with being open with people. Start with confessing, maybe, where you're at. So bringing up children is no easy task. Sometimes you've got to be harsh. Sometimes you've got to stop them, pull them back from doing things. You don't want them to run down, you don't want to hurt themselves. They might get themselves into trouble. Sometimes you've got to express tough love, and you've got to make them upset to understand why things they shouldn't be doing. You see, guardians, parents, big sitters, whoever it might be, always have a bigger picture. The child's in the here and now. I want to do this. I want this chocolate. I want to do whatever it might be. But the guardian is seeing the bigger picture, you see, understanding what, and trying to make the child understand why is a difficult bit. No different than the relationship with the Lord. How often do we stand and say, "Why, God? Why am I going through this? Why are you putting me through this?" Because we're only looking that far into the future, or we're only looking tunnel vision. God has the bigger picture. God's plan, God's purpose, God's will for all of us is to prosper us. Time and time again it says in the Bible, "I will prosper you." We're going to thrive under the Lord if we allow Him to work in our lives. Yes, we're going to go through trials and we're going to go through tribulations, and it's hard. But I can tell you this, it's a lot harder going through things on your own. 10 times more difficult. If we're willing to share, which in itself is a difficult thing, I understand. If we're willing to accept fellowship for what it is and what it should be, and we're willing to be open and trusting of each other, suddenly things become a little bit easier. In Corinthians, it says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together..." Everyone who has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. "Let all things be done unto edifying." What does that mean? What does that actually mean? Where am I going with that? Well, again, if I may, I come to you to paraphrase. And it says, "Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together," one more thing, "another will teach, Another will talk some special revelation God has given them. Another one will speak in tongues. Another will interpret what it says. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. See, meeting together is a great way to grow. I understand that. Reading our Bibles, praying, great way to get close to God. I understand that. We all have important lessons we can impart to each other. We may have been through a situation somebody else is already going through. Somebody else may have gone through a situation we're going through. In fellowship, we can teach each other things. God has gifted us all unique abilities. He's gifted us all unique talents. And when we grow, when we come together in fellowship, all those talents become a pool of resource. A massive outpouring of God's creation and gift in all of us. And we can show each other how to live, how God wants us to live. Again, the verses we read, it shows the apostles, they had a common bond in Christ. They had a common objective, which we talked about. They were working together to strengthen each other, to build each other up. They went around breaking bread together. They went from house to house. They were showing relationship, the bond they had together, to others. I wonder what people think when they look in the doorway out there, if they look in the doorway. They think, there's one, there's another one, there's another one, there's another one. Or do you think, there's church. There's a bond of people. There's a band of brothers, if you will. So I understand God has a plan for everyone. I know that. He has a plan for the world. He has a plan for each of us. You hear this time and time again. I mean, we're still trying sometimes to figure out what that is. Nobody had to tell the disciples, though. Nobody had to say to them, right, to be a Christian, this is the next thing you have to do. Christ has gone now. This is where you need to go. You need to go around. It's saving people, doing all, nobody set that out in an instruction booklet. Nobody set that out as a list of things to do. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. Led as a much bigger, wider corporate group. Compare all of this, I guess, to try and put this in a bit of context, to an orchestra. Now, I don't know if many of you have been to concerts or you've seen them, like, the problems on the telly. But you walk into the concert hall, you sit down, and the very first thing you get is this absolute cacophony of noise. And it sounds horrendous. Because everybody's warming up. Everybody's, I don't know, tuning their clarinets or whatever it is they do. And it just sounds awful. It's just noise. It's not even white noise. It's just awful. A single note from a single person is pretty meaningless. Unless, I suppose, you're doing a solo or something. But you get what I mean. No matter how well it's played. And the true music is only heard when that orchestra comes together. Everybody's playing in unison. Everybody's doing their bit. Everyone's doing their part. That's where true music happens. So in order for us to fully realise God's plan in our own lives, maybe we need to start thinking about how we play out in other people's lives. What impact do we have? Do we have an impact? Should we have an impact? How do we interact with others? This next, bear with me for this next portion of scripture. It's a bit of a Sunday school-y type approach, but I just thought it brings out the real essence of how we should be working together. So I'm going to start at 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to start at verse 12. It's quite familiar. I'm sure you understand what it is since I start reading it. It's not unusual. But it just emphasizes the whole reason that we should do things together. 1 Corinthians 12, at verse 12, and it says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts forms one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews, Gentiles, slaves, or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it wouldn't, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it wouldn't, for that reason, stop being part of the body. The whole body, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every single one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, treated with special modesty, while those presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part should suffer with it. If one part is honoured, every part should rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, we eagerly desire these greater gifts. Now, I was never destined to be a scientist. In school, my science books were like the thinnest books of everything you could carry around. And if I'm honest, most of the pages I question mark on because I just didn't understand anything. But I do know the basics of the human body. I know the hand needs the brain to tell it what to do. And without the brain, we wouldn't be able to do anything. I know the eye shows the brain what's in front of it. I know legs keep us from falling over. I know our heart pumps blood around every part of our body to keep us alive. See, every part of the human body relies on another part, just as every part of the church should rely on another part. We are all equally as important. We are crucial to the church. Every single one of us is absolutely crucial to the body of the church. If one part fails, the whole church is going to feel different. I say that with conviction, every single one of us. What if nobody taught Sunday school? What if nobody could bother doing that? And there are, again, plenty of churches around that don't do Sunday school. Well, children would grow up, wouldn't they? They wouldn't really see any relevance in church. They wouldn't get it. By the time they become sort of young adults and establish teens and things like that, they'd probably leave. And, dare I say it, the church would probably die. What if no one bothered about our own cares, our own worries? What if no one cared about us? What if no one was standing at the door saying, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? Well, we'd probably go looking for comfort somewhere else. Eventually, we may even end up in the world. We'd move away. The church would probably die. What if no one had a heart for the very youngest of babies? Again, I'm not aware of that many groups within the church environment have such a vibrant and active sort of, I don't want to call it baby club, but you get what I'm saying. That age group. What if no one bothered doing that? Then the people that brought those babies along, they'd have no Christian influence. They'd probably go somewhere else. And don't get me wrong, there are tons and tons of societies, associations, groups, clubs, play schools, whatever you want to call it, all out there in the world waiting for anybody who wants to come along to take the £60 an hour off them. Say, thank you very much, I'll look after your children. But then what happens? Well, the youngsters, the babies, start growing up in a secular world. They don't have any input from the Lord. They don't see any point in church. Adults will probably move away. Church will probably die. What if no one spoke to us from the pulpit? What if no one told us about the Word of God, their interpretation? We might get confused by what we're reading. We might misinterpret. We might lose focus. Perhaps lose interest because we don't understand some of it. Perhaps we'd move away. Again, church will probably die. You see where I'm going? Finally, one last one. What if no one provided tea, coffee, and cake after the service? Something as simple as a tea roaster. Simple and straightforward. Boil a kettle, make some tea. What if no one did that? Well, maybe that element of fellowship would be lost. We wouldn't talk with any like-minded Christians. We'd stay in our social groups. We might get a bit bored. We might get a bit lost on it all and not even bother going downstairs after the service. Go straight home. Eventually, we might get disillusioned because we're not having our own cares and our own worries answered. We're not growing in our faith like I just talked about. Eventually, we might wander off. Church will probably die. You see, every single element of church, every piece has its place. From the very, very smallest, what might seem the most inconsequential, all the way through to the more upfront in your face, if you like. Every single piece has got a position in the church. And if that fails, the whole church is going to alter. It's going to change. And that is the only foothold the devil needs to bring it down. That's the only thing. You give him an inch and he will take a mile. See, God has brought us all together to do different things. No one could be good at everything. I totally get that. It's impossible. But you should try and do what you are good at. God's imparted a gift to you. He's imparted it for a reason. He's given it to you for an objective, for a purpose. Who are we to sit on that and not do anything with it? Who are we to say, Yes, Lord, but. Fellowship isn't just important, it's absolutely crucial to ensuring God's plan is fulfilled. Church isn't just a place for us to come feel better about life while sin. That's nice, nice and fluffy, nice service, let's go home again. Yeah? That's not what it's about. We all need to help each other to grow. We all need to impart lessons, experiences, our own situations, what we've been through. Somebody somewhere will be looking for the exact same scenario as you. Somebody somewhere will take an enormous amount of encouragement just by you telling them what you've been through or what you might be doing. Often people don't take part in church because they just don't see the point. They don't understand it. I can't fit in there, so I'm not going to go there. You know, I wouldn't go to a woman's meeting, for example. I'm not going to fit in. I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. So why should people come into the church? Because they'll then stick out like a sore thumb, won't they? But if we all contribute, if we all show each other, rather than talk about it, if we all show each other fellowship, if we all show what being together as a Christian church is, that's going to be much more inviting. That's going to be much more appealing. I don't know if you remember the song, this random thought came to me when I was writing this. Remember the song Hokey Cokey? Sort of left foot in, right foot out, all this sort of malarkey. Don't worry, my wife's looking at me, I have a funny face. Okay. I mean, the last part of the song goes, you put your whole self in, your whole self out. And it all sounds great, and it all sounds wonderful and fluffy, and where am I going with this? But what if you take a single element of that song out? Tiny, tiny line, the whole thing falls apart and it just doesn't work. You know, you put your hand in it. Well, then you can't sing the song. That's a perfect picture of what church should be. Your whole self needs to be in on it. Your whole being, your whole purpose. You come to church for a purpose. And we need to run with that and really strive to do the will of God in our own lives. The hands, the feet, the head, they're all part of the whole self. And you need them to be part of this, or the song just stops working. And it's a good picture of where we fit in. You see, the Bible teaches us the church is the body of Christ. And the Lord didn't write that just because it sounded like a nice word. The body of Christ. The hands, the feet, the legs, the eyes, the ears, the nose, whatever it might be. We are part of a body. And we've all got a job to do. Some have been given, like I say, some have been given the job of preaching, some teaching the youngsters, some teaching different groups, some are given the jobs of organising stuff because they're really well-organised people. Some are just purely there to give compassion, reach out to people, show some love, show some care. But God has given the church all these different members and all these different people with an absolute purpose and goal and objective to make sure everything works out. So let's all work together. Let's all come together in fellowship. Let's all come together around God's purpose and plan for each of us. Let's find where we can make a bigger impact in other people's lives. Let's not just do it for our own sake. Let's not just do stuff because it sounds good or it might make you feel better. Let's step out of our comfort zones. Let's look for that need where it's needed. And let's walk together as a unit. Let's contribute where we have natural ability. Let's pull together. Let's practice fellowship like the disciples did. We might shine a light for God with his church. Let's pray. Thank you once again, Lord, for another time together. Thank you for your message and your plan, Lord. Thank you for your purpose that is for each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to understand that whatever we do in life should be ultimately for the glory of you, Lord. To live out your plan, to live out your purpose. Help us not to question, but to walk together. Lord, just mindful, Lord, that this is not an easy thing to do. It often makes us very uncomfortable and it's difficult. Give us the strength, Lord. Give us the confidence. Give us whatever will we need to step out of our comfort zone, to walk together and to live out your plan. I just think, Lord, this week that you would protect us and bless us. I ask that you would give mercy to those that are travelling again, Lord. There's so many away at the moment. And those that are sick and ill, we commit them to you, Father God, that your hand would be in every single situation and you would lend a touch where it's needed. People would look to you first, seek your face in all that they do. Lord, we commit these things to you in Jesus' name, to his glory we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's see.
to God, Father. We thank you for your words that you've heard tonight. And we praise you for those words in the Epistle of John, where he said that our fellowship is with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Without having fellowship with thee, our God, and with thy Son, we can have no fellowship together. We praise thee for the fellowship that we enjoy. We praise thee that we are living stones, part of this church, which is his body. We pray thy blessing upon each part of God and Father, on each living stone, that it will bring us together, our God, for thy glory, in unity, and it might all be the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.